fit for life. Your biblical pathway to success. Make this year your best year by studying to show yourself approved. Join us in our new Fit for Life classes to follow your biblical pathway to success. This is a class for everyone, whether you are a new believer or a mature believer. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the Fit for Life class.
Good morning and welcome to Fit for Life. My name is Pastor Nancy Cole, and this month, for the entire month, we're going to be talking about faith. And the first thing that the Lord brought to my mind was faith. Well, how can I say this? Well, I'll say it this way. Satan believes in God, and he knows a lot about God. In fact, he probably knows more about the Bible than what I know. So knowing about God and even knowing God doesn't mean that everything is going to be okay and that you're on your way to heaven. The whole thing is having faith that God is going to save you. And faith is letting go of us. I'm backing up for those of you that are listening and you can't see. Most of us are born with a desire to achieve and to do something and to be in control of things. But having faith in God means that we are backing away from our own desires and our own wishes, and we're saying, okay, I'm going to do it your way. I accept your way. I accept whatever it is that you're giving to me because I know all things work together for good. However, there are some things that we need to know about in order for us at this time in history to make a difference. And how many of you are familiar with Charles Capps, his book on faith? Yeah. Well, he spoke things in that book the same way that Jesus spoke things when he was here on earth about faith and about our words, and we all understand that. But his daughter wrote an addendum to his book because she did a lot of studying, and what Jesus said, and we can quote it, and what Charles Capps said when he was writing it, and what Pastor Larry and Tiz teach about faith is all true. But the daughter went into science and did some research to where she could come up and say, this is how that works. Now, I don't know, how old you were when you were reading the Bible, but I remember, the stories that said, everybody's going to see Jesus come. And, even as a little kid, I'm thinking, that's not possible. I don't know how that's going to happen. And yet here I am at this stage of life, and we're instantaneous news. No matter what happens, we know about it. In fact, we know about so much that we get kind of brain dead to it. It's like, oh, another earthquake. Oh, another tragedy. But when I first heard about it, it was like, I don't see how that could happen. So if you didn't have an abiding knowing in your knower and an acceptance of God and his control and his power, you might read the Bible, as Pastor Larry says, like a smorgasbord. I'll pick up this one, but I'm not going to take that one because I don't know how it would work, and that's going to give me gas and a headache, so I'm not going to do that. So my challenge this morning, in this small amount of time we have left, is to kind of go through some scientific things so that it just kind of accentuates what we already know but may cause us to tip over to what we believe and act on. Now, we all know the power of the tongue. Talks about, that little thing in the mouth and what it does and so forth. But, let me just go through and read this, because I highlighted some of the stuff in her book, and this may be part one. You may end up having to hear me again. But it says, some things which have required faith to believe will no longer require faith, for it will be proven to be scientific fact. That's the road we're going to be on. It's going to be proven to be scientific fact. Now, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Right, okay. So we know that. We've said that. And then it was Dr. Caroline Leaf who actually did the scientific research that showed what we think about creates chemicals in our brain, which affect our body. And the truth is, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, we can choose joy. Happiness, that's kind of circumstantial. But joy we can choose, no matter what's going on. For everybody in this room, you know the last year adventure that Don and I have been on. And there are a lot of people that didn't know anything about that. because I choose to put on joy when I come into the church. It's not my job to boohoo over everybody. Now, I do have some that I share intimate details with and explain what's going on. Those are kind of my inner circle, that my prayer partners. But for the rest, it's like, I'm going to put on joy. But as soon as you leave this room this morning, you're going to run into people, and just from looking at their countenance, you're going to go, uh-oh. Because they haven't believed and acted on the joy of the Lord is your strength. And yet, Dr. Caroline Leaf proved it scientifically. So here we go. I don't know how many in this room are familiar with quantum physics. Is there anybody? I'll have you come take the mic if you are. But quantum physics is now what Charles Capp's daughter is using to say, there are some things that are scientifically proven that the Bible has been saying and what her daddy said all along. When I was getting my healing from cancer, the diagnosis came and God brought, I mean, we had a wonderful church we were attending, just a sweet, sweet Baptist church, and they did a lot of stuff, and they had, you know, wonderful services and music and yada, 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 but they didn't believe in healing. But my dad had always said, you know, religion is our attempt to love God and serve him, but read the Bible and figure out God's way of how he loves us and wants to be with us. So I knew healing was in the Bible. I'd read the Bible. I was teaching Sunday school, so I'd already read the Bible. It's like, okay, healing's in there. So let me back away and not tell anybody in my church, because they're going to pray for grace to endure, and that ain't the kind of prayer I want to have. And so I just literally locked myself in my prayer closet, and I was like, okay, God, you've got to tell me what to do. Because the physician was mapping out surgery and radiation and chemo, and I thought, I won't survive that, because this was 30 years ago. So chemo was even more drastic 30 years ago. So it's like, okay, I've got to be really sure and hear the Lord. Now, don't you know there were a lot of people that I was watching, even in the American Cancer Society, with treatments and things that worked for them? And somehow God just pulled me up and sat me down in a place that said, that's their pathway for healing. So I knew not to take someone else's testimony and make that my pathway. So it's like, okay. Now at that moment, I surrendered. And I got to the point, because the tests kept coming back worse and worse and worse, that I literally said, even if you kill me, I'm going to serve you. I mean, what else is there? I mean, you get kind of the end of your rope and you're sitting there and it's like, well, I'm not going to deny. And even if you take me home, I'm going to serve you. The last breath I have, I'm going to serve you. So somehow he uprooted me from that good Baptist church I was raised in, the one we were attending, and planted my feet on new territory. Now, that new territory meant that I had to stay in tune with God. I had a lot of options coming towards me. I literally had to say, is this a thumbs up or a thumbs down? You need to tell me, Lord. And he was very faithful to answer me quickly so that I never had to sit and wonder. But just realize someone else's pathway for healing may not be your pathway for healing. And rather than knowing about God and even knowing God to be saved with a saving grace and get your healing, you got to move to a different camp. I'll get to the book, I promise. When I made the decision to not do any of the medical things, and I'm not against that, I'm just saying it was what God told me to do, then I had to find some place to go. And the Lord introduced us to a clinic that was in Lake Tahoe, and it was a medical doctor who was also a naturopath. And he was from California. But 30 years ago plus, California, Oregon, and Washington made it a federal offense to treat cancer with anything other than surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. Federal offense. So all of a sudden, they were closing down, breaking into clinics, taking records, smashing things all up and down the West Coast. If you weren't on the West Coast at that time, it was really kind of scary, but, you know, most people were involved in their life, and it's like, oh, those are just those granola chewers over there. You know, yeah, that really is weird stuff, and so we're not going to worry about it. But the doctor that I went to in Tahoe, he moved his practice from California to Lake Tahoe. So we heard about him, and so far the medical profession had been going through my family history, and, you know, it was kind of like, oh, you're doomed, you're doomed. And it's like, because my mom had cancer and my dad had cancer. But this doctor was interviewing me, and he said, you know, okay, and is your mother still living? I said, yes. So she survived three different types of cancer. Yeah, she has. Well, you're a survivor. It's like, holy cow, that was the first time somebody had spoken some life over me. And then he went through the process, and his whole thing was, you're blessed that you have breast cancer because that's easy to detect and very easy to cure. So all of a sudden, Don and I look at each other like, hallelujah. And it was kind of like, okay, this is so out of norm. I mean, you know Joni. I talk about her all the time. Laura, you've met her. And Joni was my best friend, and she was the marketing director for the American Cancer Society. So this went against everything that she had been trained and what she was doing for the entire state of Oregon. Now, what Joni didn't know is that at that time when I was diagnosed, there were some people in the state of Oregon that were involved in the American Cancer Society, and they kind of sent me messages, there's other things besides surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. So I'm looking at these options, and it's like, okay, Lord, you have to tell me real quick, what's thumbs up and what's thumbs down? And he did. I mean, I knew exactly, okay, that works for you, but that's not my path. Praise God, it worked for you, but that's not my path. And then I had to have confidence that I was sticking close enough to God to weed through all of the options and then pick one. And once we picked one, and even now when I tell the story and I look back, it's like, I don't know how we did that. I don't know. I mean, Don supported me. My daughter supported me. My parents even supported me. And it's like, that's a lot of people around you that say, okay, well, go with what you're selecting. The only people that didn't were out of sight that ring, and then the group of women who I was in a Bible study with, God just happened to put us together about 2 weeks before I was diagnosed. They were all tongue talkers. You know, I thought, well, this is kind of exciting, but then it became vital, and so those women were praying for me, and it's like, okay, I will stick to this pathway, and I will bless the ones that are saying I'm going to die, but I will cancel those words. It will not reach me. So that was my first experience with walking in a very unfamiliar land, making decisions with very little information coming to me, but being so plugged into God and being sure that I could hear his voice. Now, that wasn't easy. I mean, the special diet was fairly easy. Staying squeaky clean so I could hear God's voice, that wasn't easy. I just have to tell you, if you're going through something, just know that that's where the power pill is. Staying so close that no matter what comes up, you're like, okay, I get it, I get it. There's a yes and a no, a yes and a no. And then obeying whatever he says to do, do it. Just like Mary said. It still surprises me how many women will say, yes, God told me that, but I just didn't do it. It's like, oh my gosh, lightning is going to come down from heaven. God is so much for us that even when he tells us to do something that seems so bizarre and so unhappy, I'll just put it that way, it's the best pathway. So just go ahead and do it real quick and don't go around that mountain again. Well, quantum physics, she was talking about, the daughter, that we have a world of agreement that the chair is solid. We sit on it and we know it's solid. But in quantum physics, the smallest, when they go down for molecule and all the atoms and everything all the way down, the basic in the middle of it is sound, and we've taught that before. God spoke and created. So when Jesus was on earth, there's no physical way on how he could walk on water, and yet he had to have had an understanding of physics such that he knew how to walk on water. Now, I don't know if this will work for you. When I get ready on Sunday mornings, some mornings come together real easy. Other mornings, champions a challenge. That's not honey. That's not what I call honey. That's my dog. And so I'm looking at the clock and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late. And I start hurrying. Now I shoot up a prayer. God, if you could just slow down time a little bit. I don't care if you slow down time or if you speed me up. Either way. But just get me out of here because I need to be there. And I promise you, even this morning, when I was racing around, God got me out of there on time. Now, I'm not going to do research and figure out whether or not he slowed down time for me or whether he speeded me up. I'm not going to study it that deep. I'm just going to know, thank you. And when I got in my car, I was like, thank you, Lord. Now, why do we doubt that he can't change things around us? Why do we doubt that? We know that we speak, and that's the same sound that's in the chair and we all know the chair is there and we are safe to sit on it, then why would we not know that our words have that much power as well? Now, I'll throw in a Jewish thing real quick here. This morning I was reading, because I love studying the all the rabbis and all the way that they chew through scripture and, you know, squeeze things out. It's like, where did they get that? But they get it. And he was talking about, Pastor Larry says, the evil tongue speaking. And they went even deeper and said that when you speak it, what you're doing, gossiping, is that you're revealing your heart. And that's why it's such a horrible issue. So I'm looking at her, and she's talking about we manifest what's inside of us, and it's our belief system that breaks God's heart because we don't trust him or we're angry at him. Isn't there some scripture like that? Out of the mouth or out of the heart? I mean, it's all there in the Bible, and yet scientifically, they're proving that sound creates and in the Jewish culture, they're saying it. So it's like there's roadblocks, I mean, road signs all along the way about how important it is. Now, what shocked me, and this was recently, was a few years ago, I realized that our thoughts, I have to control those too. And it's like, come on, I thought I was doing really good to control my mouth. Now I have to control my thoughts. But it's like, that's where Satan comes against us. That's where Satan says, okay, I think she's sensitive about this issue, so I'm going to throw this into her thinking. Satan cannot read our minds. He does not know. However, if Satan sends a thought, I'm not going to say Satan for you, Deb. If Satan sends a thought into your mind and he sees your reaction and he hears your words, he goes, got her. So I had to be responsible for my thought life. Well, I don't know about you. You may be far more spiritual than me, but that was kind of a hard one to get pictures out of my mind. And then I remembered, okay, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if I start singing praises, yeah, and that's the only way that I could get rid of some pictures that Satan would drop into my mind. I don't own those pictures, and neither do you. I don't own those thoughts, and neither do you. You don't have to confess them as sin, because it's not sin. It's something that Satan has put in there. All you have to do is just say, I'm not receiving that. I don't believe that. I'm not going to act on that, and start speaking the word of God or singing praises. Sometimes I wake up singing, not out loud, but in my head. And I've discovered recently that I'm singing those little choruses that I learned in Sunday school. Whether it be, you know, about salvation or Jesus or whatever, I just kind of wake up thinking about him. It's like, wow, I'm not sure I did a very good job of getting my daughter raised enough in church for her to have Sunday school songs coming to her mind. But I'm going to remind her to play Christian music so that she can wake up with those songs in her mind. Well, the other thing that she talks about, besides words having energy and words creating and our thinking process having chemicals, she talks about our attitudes. Now, I've never seen that many, or at least not that I recognized, scripture verses about attitudes. But it's like, okay, if I know God and I believe God, but I'm not operating in God, then I'm going to have an attitude. Because when somebody does something against me or one of mine, I'm going to have an attitude. So what she's talking about is, okay, if we step over and say, I submit to your authority, Heavenly Father, somehow that just changes everything in our psyche. Not just our spirit, but in our psyche. So when something weird happens, we can just go, Lord, bless him. I don't know what's going on in that life, but bless him. It sends love, which is what we're supposed to operate in, to the circumstance. Now, I tried this one out. It does work. There was somebody on staff, and don't ask me who, I won't tell you, where all of a sudden there was just a season where it was like I seemed to aggravate them, they seemed to aggravate me, and it's like, argh. So, you know, I study this stuff a lot because it's important to my life and my health. And it was like, okay, so you want me to live in Christ, and you want me to not take offense, not because I'm steeled up with that shield of faith, but because I am saturated with your love so that when they do something, I can ooze love back. I'm thinking, well, that sounds to me like I'm going to be the underdog. I mean, I'm just telling you how my brain works.
if I just reach out and act lovingly towards them, that's going to give them more power. And I had to wrestle with that for a while. And it's like, well, let's see, what's that verse? Test me and see if I'm not God. So it's like, okay, I'll try it. So I literally prayed for that individual. I believed that they meant me no harm. I believed that I would be able to have the love of God inside of me so that when any circumstance happened, I would think the best of that person, not the worst. It worked. All of a sudden, they were nicer to me. All of a sudden, the relationship that had been really good for a long time was completely restored. And it's like, how does this work? Like, well, I'm not a quantum physics person, but I'm a Bible girl. So I'm going to say, I'm going to live over here in this land because it seems to be the best path. I'm happier. I'm more successful. Things around me work better. Now, I've been over here, and in all honesty, you know, I could fight my fight, and I could hold my own for a while, but it was exhausting. But over here, there's a lot more energy, because according to quantum physics, when I'm living in that land, I'm restoring and rejuvenating, and my brain is clearer, and my body is getting good chemistry, and I'm singing songs, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and all of a sudden, I have a much better life. Now, it's pretty hard to explain that to somebody when they're going through just junk in life. But that's not my job either. I'm sorry to tell you, because there's more women in the room than men, and women are intuitive, and we know what needs to happen, and we just wish we could open our mouth and tell them what they need to do. But that's not the way God works. So what we can do is, when God shows us something, we can start praying. Not just for that individual, but for the circumstances. Quantum physics, the circumstances that are going around there. Because if the Bible's true, then we have authority and power over atmosphere, and I can change the atmosphere around me, and I can change the atmosphere around them. And I can pray that God will bring the right person to say the right words, acknowledging that I am not the right person with the right words, but God's going to bring that right person. And then I have to have faith, which really means belief and submission. Faith is submission. Submission to keep my mouth shut. Okay, that's hard. But that's what he requires. If he's going to show me something, he trusts me to keep my mouth shut. He trusts me to not go around telling everybody what they ought to be praying for Sister So-and-so. I want God to trust me. I want him to know that when he gives me what I'll call a golden nugget, a secret, that I can keep it and I can act on it, because that brings peace and tranquility in my life. Well, she goes on. The next one she's got here is, he spoke to the winds and the waves and they obeyed him. He was teaching us that undeniable biblical principles, things obey words. Things obey words. How many of you have ever been in a missionary conference where they talk about food was expanded and it fed a whole bunch of kids? Or how many of you have ever had your gas tank go on empty and suddenly you made it to church and somebody slipped you a $5 bill or something to get gas to go home? Things obey words. But we have to be, thank you, Lord, that this food is going to be enough to feed everybody. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I have enough gas to get to church. Thank you, Father, that you're going to cause someone to give unto me today. Thank you, Lord. And then have that expectation. When I was getting my healing from cancer and the test results kept coming back worse and worse and worse, I never accepted those test results. Now, that's not natural for Nancy. That's not me. That's God. He was literally like, shake it off. And I kept looking at results and like, no, no, you line up with the word of God. And I lived over in the healing. I didn't just change my diet, I changed a lifestyle. I didn't just change what I was doing, I changed a lifestyle. Because God explained to me my love of chocolate and coffee was not enough to keep my body sustained for good health. And my love for stress, if you know me well, you know that I really do enjoy lots of things going on around me. But that's not necessarily where I need to get my atta girl. I'll say it that way. I need to kind of cool my jets and sit back and see what God is opening up. Because just who I am will run in and do stuff. So I have to just kind of back off. In fact, Mitch, this morning I was straightening stuff in the back, and Mitch said, "That's our job." I was like, "Yeah, but I was here and I saw it, and so I just started to do it." That's kind of how I roll. But nonetheless, what God is saying is, I want each of my children to live in that submitted role because it's so much easier. I want them to speak what I have for them that hasn't manifested itself yet, because that's where I want them to be. I want them to be so sure of my love for them that Satan can no longer bring up any of those sins that they have done in the past. They immediately know that that's not them. Every morning we wake up renewed. We tell our Heavenly Father that we're sorry for what we did. If He brings something to your mind, you just confess it and cover it with the blood of Jesus, and then praise God that He forgave you, and you keep right on moving. I don't know how many people in the church are going to be in the lane of knowing about God and even knowing God, but not submitting to Him. So who's ever listening to this podcast, or whoever is here this morning, my challenge and my wish for you is that you would realize that over here is the best place to live. I literally was in my kitchen in Beaverton, Oregon, and I heard the Lord speak over my left shoulder, and He said, "You're healed," before any test result ever came back with any good news. Now, I would love to tell you that I immediately fell to my knees and praised His name, but I didn't. The first thing I said was, "Can I stop all this?" Because I was taking all kinds of supplements, and I was eating, you know, everything that was squished, what do you call it, blended, yeah. Oh, juice, oh. And He literally said, "Sweetheart, you really abused your body for a lot of years, and so you're going to have to stay on this for a while so I can build your body back up again." It's like, oh. And then it was like, oh, I need to thank Him. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I was excited for the next test to come back because I knew that that stuff that they had been saying was true about me was finally going to line up with the Word of God. And when the blood work came back and when everything came back and they said, "Wow, yeah, there's nothing there." Now, you know what the devil, that next thing he did? "There's nothing there because you're full of cancer and your immune system has stopped and you're going to die." It's like he never gave up. It's like, is she going to accept it? Is she going to accept it? And that thought came through my brain and it was like, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I am the healed. I am whole. I am well." And I got rid of that, and I thought, oh boy, that's going to preach. That's going to preach. When you're right there, right ready for your miracle, when you're right there, and God is ready to manifest everything that you're believing for, Satan's going to come right in and swoop some thought in your mind. Don't take it. Remember, quantum physics proves that everything that Jesus said is true, that everything that Charles Capp talks about in his books is true, everything Pastor Larry and Tiz teach is true. Science is now lining up and is reinforcing the fact that, yeah, He's a good God. He's already put in place instructions for how we can do life. Now, the hard part's going to be that, you know, if I do life different than you do life, don't judge me and I won't judge you. Just know that each one of us has a separate pathway, a different way. That bothered me too for a while because it was like, why can't I share how you healed me with everybody around me? So, well, you can, but I don't know what good's going to do. They have their own pathway. Like, why? And he said, because if I did it one way, you'd start worshiping the way and rather than the way maker. Like, oh, yeah, that's true. That is kind of how we operate, isn't it, Lord? So that's why I always say, please get over here, submit, ask Him for wisdom, because He promises to give it to it if we ask, and then keep your mouth shut and only confess what you're believing for. Now, this isn't just for health. This is for jobs. This is for finances. I don't know. Sometimes when Don and I, you know, look at what we've spent for the month, I don't know how there was that much, you know, money. His treatments and so forth have not been covered by insurance 100%. And Don hasn't worked since last January, so he hasn't brought in any income. And so when you look at what comes in and what goes out, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't add up. So I have to be, because I'm a former banker and I like to balance to the penny. Don always laughed at that, but I hunt for that penny. It's like, it's in there somewhere. So I have to back up and say, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. I don't need to know how mashed potatoes all of a sudden fed four people instead of one. I don't need to know how that gas just, the gauge said empty, but I got to church anyway. And I don't need to know how you somehow supplied all of this stuff. I just know that you did. And as long as my money's in the right spot and my mouth is in the right spot and everything that I can possibly do that I know to do right now is in the right spot, I'm going to be okay. And science proves it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, that you have put everything right in plain sight. Low-hanging fruit, Heavenly Father, that if we just open our eyes and look around, you are giving us direction. You are giving us exactly what we need to do. I bind the spirit of confusion and containment off of everyone in this room today and off of everyone who will be listening to this in the future. Satan, you have been uncovered, and so you are chained, gagged, and muzzled and sent back to the pit. In its peace, place, I speak life and wholeness into every life. I speak the joy of the Lord as their strength. I thank you, Father, that you are directing them on the perfect pathway for the call that you have on their life. Let us not look to the right and the left and make judgments and decisions and comparisons. Let us look to you, Heavenly Father, the author and the finisher of everything that we need. And thank you for your protection. Thank you. Thank you for your provision. And thank you for allowing Jesus to pay the price for us to be whole and forgiven. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.